on Father's Day, I wanted to talk about this whole idea of being a man of God and this whole idea of being a courageous dad. I'm not going to take credit for that. That's not original. You guys, many of you heard of the movie Courageous. It's been around. This whole idea of being a courageous man. What's it mean to be a courageous man? What's it mean to be a courageous dad? I don't have an outline for you today. I didn't do one intentionally. We just want you guys to kind of follow along. There's a lot of different Bible verses we're going to be looking at today. Just follow along and just listen as we talk about what it means to be a courageous dad. God, I come to you today, Lord, and I'm asking that you would guide me. Help me through this. Give me your words. And Lord, as I pray, we as a congregation, as we hear what your word has to say, I pray that we would take this challenge to our hearts, that we'd apply it to our lives, God. In Jesus' name, amen. General Douglas MacArthur said this. He said, "By profession, I'm a soldier and take pride in that fact. But I am prouder, infinitely prouder, to be a father. A soldier destroys in order to build. The father only builds, never destroys. The one has a potentiality of death. The other embodies creation and life. And while the hordes of death are mighty, the battalions of life are mightier still." I like that. Sit there and think about what it means to be a dad. And MacArthur, he compares that to being a soldier. Dennis told me once, he said, when you're in the army, they teach you to break things and kill people, right? That doesn't work well if that's your role as a father, right? You don't want to do that. You don't go into fatherhood thinking, I'm going to learn to break something and kill people. Your wife's like, no, we're changing this right now, right? The doctors would be like, you ain't going home with this kid if that's your mentality, okay? We understand that that's not how a father should be. A father should be understanding we want to give life to our children. That's what we're here for, is to give life to our children. But sometimes we as dads, we don't do that very well, do we? On Father's Day, you know, last month we talked about Mother's Day, how Mother's Day is hard for a lot of women, isn't it? It's hard for a lot of women. And I thought about that in Father's light of Father's Day, and I thought, you know what? Sometimes I think Father's Day is hard for kids. Did you ever think about that? For those of us who have absent fathers or whose fathers, man, they just didn't get it. And we don't want a reminder of a day that we're supposed to honor our dad when we don't feel like honoring our dad, right? And it's hard for some of us. Father's Day is hard as kids. It's just one of those holidays. We've got to sit and think about the reality of it. And so the question we have to ask is, for those of us as dads, is what am I doing so that someday, or that every year really on Father's Day, my kids, they want to honor me. And not just on Father's Day, but really the rest of the year as well. What is it that I'm doing to be a courageous dad? Am I a courageous dad? We're going to look here first at the need for dads. Research shows that when a child is raised in a father-absent home, he or she is affected in the following ways. And I listed just a few. There were several ways, and I listed just a few of them. Let's go through these quickly. There's a 4 times greater risk of poverty, 7 times more likely to become pregnant as a teen, more likely to have behavior problems, more likely to face abuse and neglect, more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol, more likely to go to prison, 2 times more likely to drop out of high school. These are just some of the ways that kids are affected when their father isn't around. And you know what? When we think about being a dad, you can be a dad who lives in a home and still be an absent dad. It's possible to be there and yet not be there. And I think you guys know what I'm talking about. But these are some of the consequences of not being a dad, of not being around. The need for dads we have today. In America today, 24 million children live without their father at home. What does that mean for us? Well, there's a couple things. There's some of you in our congregation whose kids are grown. You sit there and think, okay, Pastor, this sermon's not for me. I sit there and think, all right, you know what? 24 million children live without their father at home. There are some kids in our community that could use a father figure. So if you are a man today, this sermon has something for you. And even if you're a man with kids, you can still mentor other children. You can take other children under your wing, friends of your kids, whoever it might be. You can do this for kids, and you can make a difference because there are 24 million children in America without a dad. And you can make an impact on kids who even have dads at home. Jim Ratliff, a man by the name of Jim Ratliff. Write this number down. If you have a pen or paper, write this number down. It's 641-414-6020. 641-414-6020. Jim Ratliff was a man who lived in Allerton, Iowa. He was there with his wife. He just worked at a local place, Shivers was the name of the place that he worked at. He sold farm equipment. Well, farm corn dryers. That's mainly what he sold, corn dryers. Went around the country. Family moved into Allerton, Iowa. Jim Ratliff saw this family move into Allerton, Iowa, and he said, you know what? I'm gonna kind of take these kids under my wing a little bit. So there was two, one especially. Jim said, look, you know what? You're 16. What are you going to do? He's like, I don't know. Well, you need to do something. Well, I don't know what it's going to be. Well, do you have a high school education? Well, not really. Let's get your GED. So Jim tutored the kid, got his GED. Jim's like, that's not enough. You got to do more than that. Let's get your ACT now. And Jim mentored the kid through that. Got his ACT. Did well on the ACTs. Jim's like, all right, you did so well on the ACTs. Let's go ahead and let's get you to apply for college. Okay. So the kid applied for college. Went to college. In school, felt God's calling. And let me tell you, I would not be here today were it not for Jim Ratliff. Jim Ratliff mentored me through those steps. Today, Jim Ratliff retires. Today is his retirement party. We're hoping to make it home in time for that retirement party. But as a way to honor Jim, I'd love it if you would text that number, 641-414-6020. Say, Jim Ratliff, thanks for making a difference in Daniel's life. Because that man made a difference in my life. 24 million children who do not have dads, and some who have dads, but after a while, dads can no longer connect, right? We understand that. We do. Someday I hope to connect my son Alex with an older gentleman who will be able to mentor him in ways that I cannot. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't be scared of that. Men can make a difference. And we want you guys to do that. You as men can make a difference. Are you willing to be a courageous dad, whether it's your kid or not? Are you willing to be a courageous dad? For the first time since Bad Guys, we need heroes. We need grown-ups. We need men to put down the plastic fork, step away from the salad bar, and untie the world from the tracks of complacency. It's time to get your hands dirty. It's time to answer the call of manhood. It's time to wear the pants. This is an ad from Docker Jeans. Now, wasn't it kind of sobering? I mean, you sit there and look, it's kind of funny a little bit, kind of punny a little bit, but think about the reality of this. Isn't this what our nation needs? Men who will choose to be men. What is it that makes a courageous dad? 1 Corinthians 16:13 says this, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Sometimes we don't even know what it means to be a man. We have no clue what it means. If somebody asks you, hey, what's the definition of manhood? Would you be able to share the definition of manhood? Many of us would not. There are a few. I'm going to challenge you. This fall, this September, we're going to be going through a study that defines what it means to be a man. So we're men. We're going to meet during the week. And I want you guys to come. If you do not know what it means to be a man, this is for you because it's going to talk about this definition of manhood. What it means to act like a man. Because I think today, in America today, and in the church today, we have lost what it means to be a man. Dennis Rainey's book, Stepping Up, we're going to back up to the book, Stepping Up. He has four things that men do. Four things. I'm giving him complete credit for this. These are four things. And as I read through these things, I thought, man, you know what? This is great. It's going to be a great sermon someday. So I read through it again a couple weeks ago, and I was flipping through the Bible and finding just a bunch of Bible passages and, man, God, this is great. Because God's word speaks very clearly to these four things we're going to talk about today. The four of them right here, the courage to initiate, the courage to protect, the courage to resist temptation, and the courage to believe. Four things that men should be good at, or at least be willing to do. Because oftentimes none of us are good at anything, really. We sit there and think about, what's it like to be a man? It's hard, isn't it? We try and we try and we try and we try. Well, the key is, are you even trying? Are you willing to initiate, to protect, resist temptation, to believe? Are we as men even willing to do these four things? Are we willing to be men? And I'm speaking to myself today, and I'm going to get very passionate about this because this is a huge area for me. I just love this topic. But this whole idea of being a man, I think, is lost. It's just lost in today's world. Let's talk about this. 1 Peter 3:7. The courage to initiate. Likewise, husbands, live with their wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Live with your wives in an understanding way. Do you know what your wife needs, wants, desires? Do you understand that? Do you have any clue as a man? If you were playing the newlywed game and they asked you, what's the top three desires of your wife, would you even be close? It takes courage to initiate. Are you willing to discover your wife, Chip Ingram? He's a president of Walk Through the Bible. He has a study out there, Effective Parenting in a Defective World. It's an old study, but it's really, really good. One of the first two sessions, he says this. He says, the best thing that dads can do for their kids is to love their wife, the kid's mom. That's the best thing that you can do for your kids, is to love your kid's mom. But do you understand what it means to love your kid's mom? Do you even know what that looks like for her? Do you have any clue? It takes having conversations. It takes asking questions. It takes being vulnerable. It takes initiation. Are you willing to initiate? Are you willing to begin the conversations? Are you willing to be vulnerable? Are you willing to say, I'm sorry, if necessary? Are you willing to say, okay, help me in this? Are you willing to initiate? Real men are willing to initiate. And not just with their wives, but with their children also. Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know what this means? Literally, it means train up a child in the way he is bent. Robert Lewis has a great study. And we spent a few weeks this last year on trying to raise up our child. And he emphasized this over and over again, how it's train up a child in the way he is bent. In other words, in the direction that he feels God is leading him. Or the direction that God has wired him, even, is even better to say. The direction that God has wired him. We're going to Grand Island this week, traveling down the road. Our two older kids are gone. They're with the grandparents. We had the younger kids. Asher's in the back seat. And Asher, he's just back there talking. All of a sudden, he says, Daddy, are those numbers counting by 20? I have no idea what he's talking about. And Rachel, being the sharp woman that she is, she says, well, yes, Asher, that's very good. He was looking at the speedometer on the Suburban. It went from 20, 40, 60, 80, 100. And he recognized age 5, those counting by 20s. Now, does that mean he's gifted? Absolutely, because he's my kid. He's gifted, right? Okay, we know this. But I sat there and thought, you know what? This kid knows his numbers, doesn't he? He's got a gift for numbers. Now, what is that going to mean? Well, as he grows up, there's going to be different things he's going to do well because he's able to grasp numbers, to grasp that. He seems to have a bent in that direction. Andrew likes to break things. Sign him up for the Army, right? Okay. That's what we're going to do. Our kids have different bents. My little girl is such a mother, right? She's going to be a great camp counselor. I mean, that'd be fantastic for her as a teenager because she's good at doing that. There are different things that my children are good at. Do you as a dad, do you know what your kids are good at? And are you willing to initiate the conversation and say, man, you look like you are really good at this. If I watched you grow up, I've seen that you're good in this area. So what does that mean for you as my son, as my daughter? Well, here's some things that you might consider doing because of what you're good at. But it takes the courage to initiate. The courage to protect, Proverbs 14, 26, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. Our children need a refuge in today's culture. Are you willing to protect them? Dennis Rainey, in his book, he gave the example of being at a junior high dance. He said, I'm at this high school junior high dance, and I'm seeing things that, frankly, is appalling to me. And I'm sitting here in the sidelines, and I'm looking around, and all of us dads are watching this, and I can see that none of us like it, but none of us are doing anything. He said, I start thinking that, man, I'm going to have to get up and do something. He said, but my hands were sweaty. My forehead was sweaty. I was a bundle of nerves and had to kick myself. Said, look, these are 13-year-olds. And I'm scared to address 13-year-olds. And he said, I finally had the courage because I wanted to protect my little girl who was on that dance floor. But it took courage to protect. He said, as soon as I stepped out, other men began following me and did the same thing that I was doing. Do we as men have the courage to stand up in the face of our culture and say, this is wrong? And while I can't stop the culture, I can stop my family from participating in the culture? Are we willing to do that? And yes, your children may be angry and embarrassed by you, but they will get over it. But are you willing to protect? Are you willing to do what it takes to protect your kids? Are we willing to do that? It's hard. It's all around us. You can't drive through Grand Island without seeing billboards that are, frankly, inappropriate, right? You can't drive through Grand Island. So what do? Is you train your child. Say, look, we cannot escape this. You're going to see it. It's going to happen. Culture is going to expose you to this, but you do not have to respond in an ungodly way. And you teach your children how to respond. You show them how to respond. You model it for them. You help them grow in this area. because it's all around us. But we can protect our children. Do you have the courage to initiate the conversation for their protection? Do we have the courage as men to do this? Are we willing to be men? Are we willing to be courageous men? What America needs is men, real men, who won't slither away from an issue or a battle. You know, you give men a cause, a very nailed down cause, and they rise to the occasion. World War II, the greatest generation. These men, they couldn't wait to sign up for the military. They lied about their age. If they were large for their age, they lied about it just to get in because they had a cause to fight. Let me tell you, today we have a cause to fight for. It's for our families, but we're missing it. We're missing the main battleground is with our families. Dennis Rainey is the one who said this. What America needs is men, real men, who won't slither away from an issue or a battle. We need men who understand the battle's in my family right now, and I am going to stand up and be a man. And if you don't know how, and many of us don't, and that's okay. There are resources to help us. There are people to help us, but will you take a stand? Will you say, okay, I don't know what to do, but I need to do something, so I'm going to initiate a conversation with somebody I trust, and we're going to see where God leads us. Are you willing to be man enough to admit you don't know? Those three words that men hate to say, I don't know. That's even harder than saying, I love you, right? Are we willing to be men and do it? Because it's only there that we can start on that path. I don't know. Proverbs 12, 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We as men sometimes, especially with our children, we want to crack down like ugly on an ape, right? Not that it's wrong to punish our children. It is not. The Bible talks about that. But sometimes we can be a little bit too much. And we look at the world around us, and we want to lash out at the world. We want to get angry. We want to do things that's completely inappropriate. You can teach your children. You can model behavior. You can punish your children in a godly way without becoming the face of evil for your children. Now, I will say this as men, and you guys know this is true. And I'm just getting there. My girl just turned 13, so I'm on the bridge. I'm on the edge of it, right? It doesn't matter how good a job you do. At some point, your kid's going to hate you, right? I mean, let's be realistic. It's going to happen. And I know hate's a strong word. They're going to at least strongly dislike you, right? And they're going to look at you and say, man, my daddy just has it in for me. Okay, that's true, I do. But that's okay, because I'm here to protect you. It's okay to have your child upset at you. Just remember, in this whole thing, as we battle the culture, as we battle those around us, that we don't have to become the culture to fight culture. We can be countercultural. We can overcome evil with good. It can be done because God promises it. Are you willing to even take that step? Are you willing to be different? Are you willing to be courageous? Are you willing to act like a man? The courage to resist temptation. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee evil passions, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. We look at our world today, and frankly, men kind of stink at this. We do, don't we? We as men, we kind of stink in this area. I think pastors all around us, there's no way to get away from it. I agree, it's all around us. But 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. You will face temptation, but are you as a man willing to stand up and say, I don't have to give in. I can resist. Sometimes it's a temptation to do something that we look at and morally is very clear in the scripture against God's word. Sometimes that temptation to be passive. We as men tend to be passive. Let our wives deal with the children. Let them deal with it. I come home from work, I don't want to do anything else. I come home from work, I'm tired. Let my wife deal with it. You are becoming a passive man. You are not involving yourself in your kids' lives, and that is against God's word. Are you willing to resist that temptation? Are you willing to resist the temptation of taking the easy way out? I'll punish the kid next time. Are you willing to be consistent? It's hard. Are you willing to be consistent? Are you willing to be without hypocrisy? Say, man, you know what? And I'm not saying this is wrong. Here's what I'm trying to say. Sometimes we get so lazy that, you know what, kids? It's okay to skip church today because of whatever. And so we skip 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, however many times a year because of whatever. Does God want us to worship together? Yes, he does. Is he going to judge us because we don't worship together? I don't believe he will. He's a forgiving God. At the same time, is it a priority in your life? And do your kids know that it's a priority in your life? Are you willing to stop the passiveness? Are we willing to act like men? Are we willing to resist the temptations of the culture? We and our family, and I'm not saying this is for everybody because it's not for everybody. I'm not passing judgment on anyone who doesn't do this. But what we have chosen to do is that we don't have TV in our home, broadcast television in our home. In our house, we do not. We can watch movies on a DVD player, but we don't have broadcast television because the commercials are trash these days. If you find a good program you like, the commercials are horrible, and I don't want my boys exposed to that. I want to protect my kids. I want to keep them from being exposed to these temptations. Is it wrong? No, it's not wrong to watch those things, okay? I'm just saying that it can bring something into my home that I don't want in my home. So it takes courage. Are my kids upset by that? Yes. They are. Am I evil personified? Well, I don't think so. At the same time, it's hard for them. It's different. It's countercultural. But I'm teaching my kids to resist temptation. I'm protecting my kids. And it took initiation. Are we willing to be man? And finally, are we willing to believe? Tom Skinner, he was a former Washington Redskins chaplain. He said this: I spent a long time trying to come to grips with my doubts when suddenly I realized that I better come to grips with what I believe. I have since moved from the agony of questions that I cannot answer to the reality of answers I cannot escape, and it's a great relief. What's he saying there? He said, sometimes we struggle with the answers. We don't have the answers to life's problems, do we? And so we doubt ourselves. We say, God, I don't know why this happens, why this happens, why this happens. When my kid comes to me with a problem, I can't answer it. I don't know what to do. And meanwhile, we avoid, or we don't even get around to telling them what we really do believe. And what do you believe? Do you understand what you believe? Do you have the courage to believe in something and then communicate that something? You know what I believe? I believe that God's a real person. I believe that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. I believe that God created us as men. I believe that man fell. I believe that man is sinner, separated from God. I believe that God sent his son Jesus to die for us on the cross. Are you even teaching those basics to your children? Yes, they have questions about life. And yes, it's not fair sometimes, is it? But can you still say God is sovereign even in the hurt? God didn't cause the hurt. The world has fallen. We're sinners. We live in a sinful place. Bad things happen to good people. The Bible teaches that. And it stinks and it hurts, but it doesn't change who God is. God is a loving God. And are you willing to hold your kid when they're crying and say, God, I don't understand? And you say, you know what? It's okay because God is still God. And he has promised in his word that all things work together for good to them who love him or are called according to his purpose. And while it doesn't feel good now, it will in the end. Are you willing to trust in him? Because my son, I trust in him. Are you willing to be a man? Are you willing to tell your kids what you believe? And then as you teach them what you believe, you grow and they grow and you continue on. And when they have questions, you say, I don't know the answer. Let's find out. Those three words, I don't know, but I want to find out. I want to believe. Are we willing to do that? Because we as men, we are lacking in this. When is the last time you had a spiritual conversation with anybody, much less your own children? When is the last time you were willing to do that, to say, hey, this is what I believe. Do we believe it? Somebody asked me this week, they said, is your church Bible-based? And I said, absolutely it is. Christ-centered, Bible-based, that's us. But is your life Bible-based? Can your children look at you and know what you believe because you tell them what you believe? Do you understand this? Or are you so wrapped up in the doubts of life that you get stuck and we're unwilling to even share what we believe? Are you willing to be a courageous man? Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 7. These words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. Men, are you doing what God has commanded you to do? And it's not easy, and it's hard, and some days you feel like a hypocrite. And honestly, like me, some days you are, right? We're not perfect, but God doesn't want us to be perfect. He wants us to be good. Are you willing to try? Yes, be holy, for I am holy. We understand that. But are we even willing to try? Are you willing to try? Are you willing to show your kids that you have the power to initiate, that I have the courage to initiate? I have the courage to stand up and protect my kids. I have the courage to resist temptation and teach my children to resist temptation. And I have the courage to not only believe in something, but to share that belief because I'm a man. And God has called me to stand up and act like a man, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a man today. Isaiah 59. We all growl like bears. We moan and moan like doves. We hope for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it's far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you. Our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities. Does this sound familiar? I know this wasn't written to America today or even to the church, but think about this. This fits, doesn't it? Check out this next passage. Transgressing and denying the Lord and turning back from following our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart lying words. Justice is turned back. Righteousness stands far away. Truth has stumbled in the public squares. Uprightness cannot enter. Can I get an amen? Do we know? Do we see this? It's the very next verses. Truth is lacking, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. The Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no one to intercede. The question that I have today is, are you willing to be a man and intercede for your family? Are you willing to stand up for the church? Not just the church, for St. Paul, for our community. Are you willing to do this? Are we willing to say enough is enough, and within my house that I can control, I am going to intercede and act like a man? We've lost it, haven't we? I praise God for people like Jim Ratliff who said, I'm going to be a man in that kid's life. I would not be here today. I probably wouldn't even have a high school education if it wasn't for Jim. He did it for me, and he did it for my next brother in line. That's a man. It's a man who made a difference. And you sit and think, well, that's just one kid. What difference does that make? Okay, what difference am I making? That's Jim Ratliff gets a glory for that. God working through Jim and Jim doing all those things, right? That's what a man can do. You sit there and think, it's just one kid. What difference does it make? One kid can make a huge difference if you're willing to stand up and be a man. God, we're not perfect at any of this. But God, I just want us to be challenged at some of it that we can do something. Lord, I pray this challenge today would take root and that you would help some of us. If we are a man and we don't know what to do, I pray you give us the courage to go to somebody and say, I don't know, but I want to. And God, help us. And God, I know that every man in this room has some sort of belief on something. And God, I pray that their belief in you, that they'd be willing to share that. At the very least with their kids, they'd be willing to share their belief. God, help us as men. Help us to stand up. And maybe for the first time in our lives, act like men, God. And I pray that someday you would look down in our household and you would see a man who is willing to intercede. I pray this, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.